Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the joy we have in coming together in absence to know the love in our hearts for each other and the wonderful embrace we can have as we would fellowship together, reading and studying your word, waiting upon you, Holy Spirit, to unpack and unfold and quicken your word to our hearts, bring revelation and understanding and comprehension. We thank you that we can gather around your table, Lord. Where we can come into your house, where indeed you bring us because we are residents and children, and indeed this is our family around your table. I ask you to bless our time tonight. Give us a conscious sense and awareness of your presence. And as we look to you, we trust you for maturing in our own lives, deeper insight and windows open that we might see more clearly. In Jesus' name. Amen. I will read the heart of prayer with this young gentleman here. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, an acceptable and perfect will of God. In the bottom there, we added this little footnote here. We hold fast, which we take then out of the first paragraph of chapter 3 of the Epistle of Hebrews, the one we're studying tonight. Hold fast firm to the end. The wonderful, so great salvation of this high priest. All right, the agenda for tonight. First, yellow, down three places there. We have discernment and maturity Friday, 6:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. Next month on the 6th, which would be a week from this Friday. So that a little over a month has passed by fairly quickly. Tonight, for a discussion point, it's a new Christian history issue, 152. It's Christianity and theater, and I do have a splash page for us that we'll hit after the song. Our next session for us is next 2 weeks from tonight, which is the 10th of September. Tonight we're moving from insights to prayer, and I have a special panel for us in regard to that after we do our review of last sessions that we had together, study for the themes and concepts that we're getting, I think, somewhat used to. All right, so here's our discussion points. In Christian history, it's Christianity and theater. And you guys are familiar with what we do. Is this just a splash page? Here's an introduction. You can read it in the PDF here or online. Here's the magazine, just a graphic of it. We'll jump to this link and we'll go then to Christian history, which is over here. All right, it jumps up like that. And you'd have then the magazine. Below the magazine is something to be taken note of. And that is that the downloadable PDF is in red here. And you're welcome, because it's free. They don't charge. They give it away. And then it's the full magazine right here that has all the articles in it. Graphically, of course, it's really quite nice. So it would be full-page spreads historically, so it'll hit the notable things occurring at that particular time period as they compiled it. Theater, I would imagine, I haven't had a chance to look at it, would cover quite a length of time period, early up to maybe current. So there'll be a timeline in it, plus the articles pertaining to that, and its relationship then to Christianity of a given time period per given articles. And then it'll also have artifacts and conifery and the rest of the stuff would be there, and we'll just go back and see if we got a timeline. You can blow it up full screen when you're up there. I don't want to do that right now in the middle of our study, but there's a timeline. So here you're going to have Christian folk of note of the time period. You'll have political folks. You'll have cultural things going on. You'll have economic going on, and things like that, and the different folks involved in that, governmental types of things as far as those people are of note. So that's always quite educational if you get a chance to look at it. So we will close this out. You know the link and how to get to it. And again, I encourage you to download the PDF and look at it at your convenience on your own system. So, Christianity in Theater. Moving on to our study, we're in this section, right up in the start of the epistle again. We're in the second paragraph of the first chapter. We've moved from the theme defined by the person of Christ, God speaking to us by his Son, to now the unpacking of who the Son is, everything from person to character to incarnate, to divine, to relationship, to everything that by means of the Father has created all things in and through his Son, who indeed in turn upholds all things, as we see wrapped up even in the towards the end of the first chapter. And the headers here that we have Jensen putting us will be repeated in some of the summaries that we're going to look at. And Jensen's highlighted here, this particular section has to do with the Son over the angels. And one of the reasons he put that there, of course, is the elevation of angels in the hierarchy of created beings in the mindset of the Hebrew Israelite folk and their relationship to servants and messengers of God, of which the Lord Jesus himself had to be identified in a degree of similarity, but most importantly, in idea of contrast, and even as their maker and Lord. So that's where we are. We move ahead to the many study blocks considering Christ Jesus. And now we have for us tonight somebody I'm sure we've missed is Brother Andrew reading for us our paragraph of focus. And once again, to remind us, we've been at this quite a while, and some of us may have grown a bit distant in reference to the paragraph, the first two paragraphs, but I still encourage you to, as much as you can, just simply read them or spend time with them, because as we dig deeper, week by week in our study, there's more material behind what we're looking at than I can possibly imagine. The unsearchable riches of Christ, and the Father's presenting this Son to us, and these are the windows into the emphasis he's putting on and the relevance to our own Christian life and our participation in his family in relationship to our Savior, our King, our Lord, our High Priest, and indeed the wonderful brother that we have. So we'll let Andrew read to us.
Hebrews 1:5-9. For to what angel did God ever say, "Thou art my son, today I have begotten thee"? Or again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son"? And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." Of the angels, he says, "Who makes his angels winds, and his servants flames of fire." But of the Son, he says, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The righteous scepter is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore God, thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness beyond thy comrades."
Thank you, Brother Andrew. All right. Here we have last week's study. And if you recall, we're doing each time a reflection in order to bring us from absence together in our study up to speed, all on the same page with what we looked at last time we got together. So this is session 34. Today we're on session 35. Same paragraph, many of the same themes and subjects, but what this is what we actually talked about. So it's the transcript and summary as a way of introduction to any new folks to be encouraged to go and look at the whole study. But in summary, so It should bring to mind conversations we had, things we pointed out. And the more we do this, the more comfortable we become. So we'll listen to it first. We have a new guest speaker, I think, that will bring her on board. It's a young lady. And we'll keep her with us. In time to come, we might bring another one on. But just to break that up, because we're quite used to Andrew by now, and he's a wonderful fella sitting over to the side. But this is now Cora, who's going to read this for us. And she's got quite a nice, pleasant voice.
TBS Hebrews chapter 1, verse 5 through 9, session 34 focuses on the supremacy of Christ. We emphasize Jesus' unique sonship and his role as the mediator between God and humanity, exploring themes of righteousness, the eternal kingdom, and the role of angels. We encourage personal engagement with Scripture, highlighting the importance of prayer and reflection for spiritual growth. The session concludes by emphasizing the believer's incorporation into God's family and the joy in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Now again, that's a summary of what we all talked about. Those, of course, would be headers, or in an outline format, there'd be material below it. Now, we further, in review, would look at how it was done, looking at main themes, topics, key concepts, directives, exhortations, encouragements, and so on, with a brief recap at the bottom of those. We'll have a similar question each time we look at the summaries at the top, but they're really going to be appear the same way in structure. One of the things I'd encourage us as I read through these is looking at things and taking note of what might be new or in repetition, or force ourselves to dig deeper into these things. These headers become significant. They'll be recurring because it's the same epistle and it's the same author. We'll see at different times how he emphasizes different things, or how different things fall into a category like application, which we'll be bringing on board. I think I introduced that a while ago. We'll bring it on board and set it aside for a while until we accumulate things that would get used to pertaining to application for me, for my life, for the relevance of this so great high priest in my life, and what indeed the Holy Spirit personally and or corporately as a group, the Holy Spirit wants us to focus on. So what we'll do is I'll blow this up. And get it hopefully as big as we need it to be. If you need it bigger, I'll zoom in. How are we?
I'm good.
Good. Sonia, you're good? Okay. Let's go with main themes and topics. So this is, again, we're involved. This is what we talked about. Either the author emphasized it, we took note and we emphasized it, or made it part of the discussion, or in our PDF panel, these slides and in PowerPoint, we had a graphic illustrating this, or we as a group, one of us then either questioned or focused on something and we had a dialogue about it. And then this is taking that and bringing into well, what did we as a group in conjunction with the author see as main themes and topics, and the same within the other subheadings. So the supremacy of Christ, we've talked about it several weeks in a row. The paragraph emphasizes the unique sonship of Christ, highlighting his superiority over angels and his role as the ultimate mediator between God and humanity. This theme is central to the discussion and reflects the theological points of Hebrews. Now, the importance of this, the utility of it, is at the beginning of the epistle. The whole epistle is built on the first paragraph, introducing us to God now speaks to us by his Son, no longer by the prophets of old, but by his Son himself, who indeed he identifies in the first paragraph and second paragraph and on as God. As much God as the Father is, as much God as the Holy Spirit is, the intimate oneness of the triune God, and God sent his only begotten Son. And he speaks to us by his Son. And then that opens up to, well, it's not just his words. We see in the first paragraph, we have actions. We have, we might say, finished work of Christ. We might say then, creative acts that we see in the first two paragraphs. We see a relationship developed and unpacked to all the things that he's created and made. And then also God coming into the created order as one with a particular aspect of his created order, indeed, which is you and I. And so we see his body unpacked. It is, doesn't state it explicitly. It's assumed that the readers are well aware of who the Son is speaking to by his acts and what he's done. The created order, those that are in it, everything from angels to other entities, and then specifically those that are of salvation, as we see brought out in that first chapter. And so everybody reading it that's a child of God is elevated up to a particular point of fellowship. Right out of the first paragraph, he sat down, his work is done, his body is made. Now he's waiting for his enemies, not us, his enemies, to be put under his feet. And so the supremacy of Christ, and so as we look at this, you know, it could become repetitive. We can lose our interest, and what we need to do each time is stimulate ourselves to take a focus, push the Holy Spirit to bring out what's behind it, even one more time, or what else is back there? The eternal kingdom and throne. The eternal nature of Jesus' kingdom and throne is discussed, emphasizing that his kingdom is righteous and everlasting because he is God. We might take note of where we belong. We've been transferred from, in the quad Colossians, from something to something else, from a dominion of darkness to the kingdom of his beloved Son. And here it is right here. What kind of kingdom is it? Because of who he is. And so everything pertaining to us, as the epistle unpacks it, or the other epistles in the scriptures, the Holy Spirit, is we are in that. There's nothing. That's why we can say he keeps us from sin. That's why we can say there's no unrighteousness in him, therefore there's none in me. And this is an everlasting kingdom of which I've been not a guest. I am one with. I've been grafted into. I've been adopted. I've been made part of his body. And all the rest of this stuff comes together. This wonderful kingdom where his life resides is his kingdom. Righteousness and lawlessness. The session explores the symbolic significance of loving righteousness and hating lawlessness, linking it to the presence and anointing of the Holy Spirit. Once again, our character and context is being defined by him. Because he loves righteousness and hates lawlessness, we have the same life, the same expression. When he's expressing hatred of lawlessness, it's being expressed in and through us as we recoil from temptation, or we step back from the evil one, as we recoil from the corruption of this world and this life, as we look and seek the things that are above. It's all coming from his life that's within us. And as we seek after and come to the exhortation, this epistle, come to a place of Sabbath rest where we rest wholly in the residence of his life within us, the Holy Spirit's then indeed able to blossom forth the manifestation of the life of God in the created order as he is sorrowing this world. And so Ephesians, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places according to the eternal purpose of Christ Jesus comes out in and through us. And what is that? God resident, his life indeed then spreads out, and we see the embracement of the whole created order. We also see corruption, the devil, wickedness, and things that are anathema to God dealt with in the person of God himself, he coming in and dealing with it. So all that coming out of, you know, simple things that we talked about. So these are just some of the stuff that we, the Holy Spirit wants to bring to bear on us, put us in such a solid place to come to that place of Sabbath rest in the life of God himself as our own. Role of angels. position of angels in relation to Christ is considered, reinforcing the idea that Christ is superior, that angels serve a different purpose. Now, a part maybe we haven't realized, and he touches on it in this epistle, but the angels that we see at the end of the first chapter are in service to and servants of those that are obtained salvation. One of the aspects that comes with that is a responsibility. As we look out and see, it's not too difficult for us to grasp that the created order, say you look at a Genesis and the flowers and the trees and the rocks and the animals, we're in charge. We're to name them, take care of them. We're to cultivate the garden and so on. And now in our present context, we've got a whole nother element that not just includes what we see in organic matter, but the realm of angels are servants to us, but it also gives us a responsibility, as Christ has, in our relationship to the angels. Our relationship to them is the same as he has. So we're at his right hand sitting with him, and we are to learn how to love his created order. So that would be love, participate with, work along with the angelic realm. And they indeed, as we come into great awareness of our relationship because we're the body of Christ, that they indeed will treat us in a particular way, we in turn are to embrace them as we embrace the whole created order. We're responsible for the care of the created order. So it's not just this earth. It's a role of angels. So that's I'm getting at some things that are behind it. You know, and you can push back on these things, but as we contemplate them, think about them, the Holy Spirit's bringing to bear deeper aspects of the significance of what he's accomplished in speaking to us by his son. He's telling us who he is. At the same time, he's telling us who we are because of what he's done in picking us up, putting us in him, not only accomplishing purification for sins, but putting us in his kingdom, incorporating us into his body around his holy table, where then indeed that's where his family sits. Angels aren't at that table. Cherubim, seraphim, they're not at the table. That's his family table. Key concepts. Manifestation of God's righteousness. Jesus is portrayed as the manifest righteousness of God. Believers are encouraged to see themselves is incorporated into this divine reality. We talked about that last time together, time before. Every time we talk about the same stuff, but we should be grasping deeper aspects and a greater self-awareness, and because of the exposure and the refinement of the Holy Spirit within us, changing us from glory to glory, become more comfortable with that reality, that we're incorporated into this divine reality with him. His life is evidence in us, if you want to use the word abide that we touch on in 1 John so frequently. We abide in him, he abides in us, his life is within us. The whole created order sees and looks upon this Lord Jesus Christ in the created order. God himself. Personal engagement, I'm sorry, key concepts, manifestation of God's righteousness. I just read that one. Personal engagement with Scripture. We are encouraged to engage deeply with the Scriptures, reflecting on personal insights and understanding the profound relationship between the Father and the Son. Now, we're appreciating the Father and the Son. Many of us, because of where we came from in the fall and the rest of it, look at these things from actually, without us really realizing sometime, a mindset that came with us, not in ordinance, but the mindset where we need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. He's sharing with us the relationship and we're grasping the Father and the Son. What's also happening is the other component we saw, he's sharing with us our relationship with the Father is the same as his, with him and the Holy Spirit, our relationship. So you can think of the Father, you can think of the Holy Spirit, and you can think of us in oneness with the Son, one with him in that relationship. That relationship is, we co-participate in the relationship of the Son with the Father and with the Holy Spirit, if you want to think of it kind of graphically. But if you think of Jesus' prayer, where he wanted to be made, want us to be made one as he and the Father are one. That's what we're talking about. And it's being unpacked in the, by the author of Hebrews, and us really considering, beholding the God-man that he now speaks to us by. He's unpacking you and I. He doesn't need to unpack himself to whatever. He's unpacking himself to you and I. And it's an embracement. Come in, dine at my table. We eat together the same foods. We're of the same heart and mind. We're of one spirit. All of that going on. So that's pretty cool. Is that making sense, you guys?
Yes.
Good. We can take questions if you'd like, but we're good to move ahead?
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Now, these are up there, and I encourage you, they're up there for us to continue to study and to look at. Even sometimes, you know, there's my day, I don't have time. Well, if I just force myself to read through it once, I'll carry some bit with it in the midst of busy whatever we're doing. And when the exhortation, as we see in the scriptures, to, well, look, dwell on the things above, not on things of the earth. You and I are so immersed in this life on earth. It's so perplexing and stressful. A joy and relief, like walking through a water spray in the midst of a hot day, is to look up and have the thoughts of God elevate us and lift us up. And soon in a distance is the corruption of the world, or all our stresses and things we have. We're also set free in an aspect of interaction, intercession and prayer with the Heavenly Father, in engaging his mind for those that we bring to him in that elevated state as we think on things above. One of which is his desire, of course, for our loved ones and the people he's brought into our sphere in our own life. Excuse me. Directives and exhortations. Application of biblical concepts. This session includes directives on how to apply the teachings from Hebrews to daily life, such as acknowledging Jesus' superiority, seeking righteousness, and embracing his eternal reign. Now, we talked about that, but we interpret them in the context of, in seeking righteousness is the knowing of the God-man, of the Father, of the Holy Spirit. It's John's knowing, experiential knowing. Not putting down a list of aspects of righteousness that I need to seek and practice. He's tooled us up, as we just went through, with his life that is righteous, his expression of that life, which is the expression of the life of God, which indeed radiates righteousness and all the aspects of the person of God coming out of us, and embracing his eternal reign, of which we are manifestations of participation in his eternal reign. One of the things that we don't see maybe is while we walk this earth, his eternal reign is being made known to the principalities in the heavenly places, also in the created order, and in a rather, I suppose we could call subtle, because we don't take necessarily note of it, to our fellow men. Eternity is walking amongst them. Eternal life is walking amongst them. The reign of God in the created order over all things is walking amongst us. Death has no place. The enemy has no place. The devil has no place. Wickedness and evil and immorality and all the rest of the things we put in those categories has no place. And he walking in and through us, we walking in radiating his life, whether conscious of it or not, spreads out the life of God in beams of his person that we may not visually see, that drive that stuff out, melts people's hearts, allows the Holy Spirit to bring people to conviction and so on. We're working in conjunction with the wooing of that Holy Spirit in drawing all men unto himself. That aspect of coming into a place of participation indeed, and then full embracement in the Sabbath rest, is the place he wants us to live for the duration of our days in great enjoyment in the midst of this world. And that's what brings glory to the Father and happiness to the Son. Prayer and reflection. Prayer is highlighted as a crucial tool for applying biblical concepts, fostering deeper self-awareness, and seeking divine guidance. Now, in the next panel, as we move to our study on prayer in our modules in this paragraph, we're going to touch on that. I'll just read it one more time, and then we'll save the balance when we get down a few panels. Prayer is highlighted, and we highlight prayer means we highlighted it. It's coming from our study and our words. Prayer is highlighted as a crucial tool for applying biblical concepts, fostering deeper self-awareness, and seeking divine guidance. Just as a sidebar, one of the things we should be getting used to in our walk together is there's nothing wrong with self-awareness. Prior, I know sometimes we're afraid, well, all I'm going to see is sin, or I'm going to see corruption. If the Holy Spirit's taking hold of us and helping us to see and understand, we're no longer corrupt. We are righteous. We may have never experienced righteousness, so we don't really know what it feels like. But we are as righteous as He is. We are as lovely as He is. We are radiating the life of God as He does. And so part of the Holy Spirit's work with us is to make us self-aware of the joy of being a human being and a true human being in the context of being God's children. Even independent of being God's children, it's a wonderful thing. In the context of being God's children, a self-awareness is a joy. It's not something to be intimidated by or so on. Even up in chapter 12 with discipline and correction, it brings us to a deeper awareness of self-awareness, and the participation in that becomes a joyful thing. And we want to come to more self-aware, because what it means is the windows opening up and the understanding and comprehension of I'm one with God, and indeed His life is awesomely beautiful pumping through us. And so that's part of being self-aware, and then seeking divine guidance. But again, the underscore here is it comes through prayer and then reflection or contemplation. We've used that word in the past. Not meditation, unless we define it by considering the Lord Jesus Himself in conjunction with the Holy Spirit. Encouragements. Spiritual growth and maturity. Participants are encouraged to grow in faith, deepen their spiritual understanding, living a life that honors the supremacy and righteousness of Jesus Christ. Community and fellowship. The importance of engaging in personal and group Bible studies is emphasized, as well as the value of fellowship with the Holy Spirit and other believers. Our fellowship is this one Spirit with each other. Individually, we're never alone. Corporately, we recognize, see, and enjoy an embracement of being one Spirit, one life, one Father, one body, and so on. The pumping, vibrant life of God, never still, always going forth in making Himself known to what He's made. We indeed not only have a front seat, we are in participation in that place. Overall, the study reflects a structured approach to Bible study, aiming to deepen understanding and foster spiritual growth among participants. It encourages a reflective and prayerful engagement with the Scriptures, emphasizing the transformative power of understanding one's identity in Christ. And again, I'm not necessarily comfortable with the word identity, but it's maybe the best word we have these days. It's been quite watered down to its context. What we're talking about is the fellowship of His life, His person, fellowship of His person. Or any questions over that, you guys? I know we probably don't initially remember all the stuff we talked about last time, but the exciting part is we get to do it again next time on what we're studying tonight, post this particular panel.
Mark?
Yes.
I'm not sure you want to go back to this, but could Could you revisit the part about the role of angels
Right here? Yeah.
And our relationship to that?
Sure. Maybe the perspective that I was trying to highlight, it's easy enough to see, well, he's over the angels. He's also addressed as possibly a comrade, as a created being in the sense of the God-man. But the angels were well aware of who he was. But the relationship that he has, we're being told. And one of the things that's going on in the early parts of this chapter is for the readers, you and I, to cast off things that hold us back from actually understanding how he speaks to us, who he is, relationship to everything, and in this place, the angels, and relationship to us. And we're being picked up and put in him, as we've talked about through all of these headers. And he wants us to see and realize his place with them as the one who's made them, the one who has been birthed amongst them, that would appear rather in a lower place in a hierarchy than they were, yet because of who he is and recognizing who he is, elevated above. What I was trying to bring across, if we could realize this, is if you go back to the garden, and we'd all agree, well, the Father in the created order made us last, put us in charge of the whole created order in that context, if we'd look out and we'd see the physical realm. So naming the animals is an indication of that, and teaching us about what he's made, but in doing that, he was conveying a responsibility to us. Now, we fell shy of getting to that particular application. We do see post even the fall that man would be perceived. I don't think it's a puffed up egotistical human thing to see that we're greater than the fish. We're greater than the animals. We're greater than sentient beings. We are greater than, in the created order, the living things like plants and trees. We manhandle rocks and earth and reshape. We not only are in charge of that, we're quite proficient these days at destructive things, destroying it. But in reality, we were put there to reign and rule over it. And one would think, in retrospect, post-fall, but looking back, if we hadn't fallen, we have a strong suggestion, of course, I'm unshakable in it, that the Lord was always going to come. That's what he made us for, in reference to birthing us into the context of his body, where he would indwell in the created order. And indeed, the only way he came into the created order was to indwell the created order as a human being, as a God, as the God-man. So we have that. So we look back. And so that rule and reign, as we see described here in relationship to he over the angels and everything that he's made, we're lifted up and put into that. But my particular point was, we were indeed to be responsible for taking care of the created order that God made for us, for himself and for us. I would put all the created order in that context. He's elevated us above all things in himself. And looking out through those eyes, looking through participation in the one life where he shares his life expression in being with us, he wants to reign and rule all things, including the angels, in and through us. So the point I was trying to make, really underscored, is that's a responsibility that we'll come to realize and recognize, and it's an awesome responsibility. It can only be engaged in as he brings us to this place of full maturity, because then indeed he can, indeed, by the Holy Spirit, can really express himself in that context. It's pretty hard for us to grasp that, but that was my point. Do you need more there?
No, that's good.
Okay, so if that makes sense. So not just over our puppies and our kitties and the animals of the earth, but we look up and we see the heavenly realm. That's why they're in such awe, manifold wisdom of God being made known in and through his body, his people, in the heavenly realm, the heavenly places, the spherical realm, and so forth, according to the eternal purpose. And we always go to the eternal purpose of Christ Jesus is God manifest in the created order, where he and then takes up his place. He's already sitting on the throne, and indeed we're told in Quad Ephesians that indeed is where we sit. We're reminded in the first paragraph of Hebrews that indeed he's accomplished that. That's where he sits. We also sit there with him. He's not explicitly there stating it. That realization, if we'd only had the Epistle of Hebrews, would be cultivated through the building blocks through the epistle, as he shows us later on in the epistle, where he's gone and where we are participants of, because of the only one thing. It's the eternal life that made him that high priest, his own life. Otherwise, he'd be like the other priests. And that's the same thing that we have with him. So anyway, all of that. So the role of the angels. Now that what we would suggest would be the last peg in our relationship to the created order. We don't have to elevate or be elevated. We are there. The other thing to take note of, which we will be reminded of personally, is as he was of the earth and walked the earth and served on the earth to great, all the way up to the cross and so forth, that one who rules over all, who has made all things, who upholds all things, as we see in Philippians, humbled himself to be the servant of all, as Paul states about himself. Indeed, so are we. So that's part of our responsibility. It's in a role of absolute, utter humility, not because we're necessarily humble or need to take that type of approach to all things. It's because that's the heart of God and what he's made. He didn't consider it to rule from. He came right down with the things that he made to become a part of what he made, participate with it, that it would elevate his entire created order by his own person. That falls on us also. So it rounds it off, I think. Does that make sense now, you guys?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you don't find these normally talked about around the coffee shop. But I'd suggest to we as his children that's in him speaking to us. He's unpacking all those things, but he's doing it in the initial part of the epistle, foreshadowing how he's going to get us to a place where we have confidence that it is so. We have confidence in that. And when those responsibilities come to bear by the Holy Spirit within us, our response is a mature response, because we have that knowing of John experientially that it is true. And then a love for the created order rises up, the ability to be a good caretaker and gardener, walking with God hand in hand in his play field, as he was foreshadowed, of course, in Genesis. Well, amen then. We're all good? I'll move ahead. All right. I'm gonna jump down to show us where we are. Then we're going to come back to this one. And I'll read it ahead of time, because we're moving into prayer in our study modules pertaining to this particular paragraph, second paragraph of chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. And these are things that we, in our study last week, would be areas that would be areas that could generate, and we could see things to pray about. I've got headers on them. We got quite a few there, but they're different aspects and components. Before, and we'll look at that panel, we looked at prayer from the context of traditional Christian prayers historically. So we had a little chart. Let me see if I got it here. No, we're down farther than that. farther than that. So we'll be past insights. We'll be right here. So we had, we have five, sometimes there's seven, any of us as Christian folk and studying our history and studying then our relationship to God and looking at the scriptures and the Psalms, the Proverbs and the epistles, come up with these types of prayers, evidence of the work of God in our own hearts. So there's worship, praise, petition, intercession, supplication, thanksgiving, spiritual warfare. Okay, so we're moving, we're keeping that, but we're getting behind it now more in a participation with his life as he unpacks our week by week in our study of Hebrews. And so we're going to get quite a bit more focus. But behind it, things will be turned into praise and worship. Things will be obvious petitions or intercessions, soliciting after the things that are being brought out in the epistle and then relevant to an application to our own lives. So we're moving from this particular graphic. It'll always be there. But each time now, where it's appropriate, we will be having a prayer page, and that's what we're going to work with today, moving from insights to prayer. I'll find it back up here. I think it's, no, it's this one. Now I'll blow that up again. The top reads, "This our study contains several topics and themes that can be utilized as areas for prayer among participants." Now, at this point, we're moving ahead into this paragraph in our chart, so we're down to prayer past insights. Here are some key themes and corresponding prayer points. So we're going to discuss those points. The yellow box will remain the same on both of these types of graphic presentations, which just underscores a more structured approach. So what I thought, the reason I'm doing this, and I have done one in the past about a month ago, is instead of forcing dead air and dead time amongst us, we'll have content that then we can discuss because we discussed it a week before, but maybe we haven't brought it forth in the significance of prayer. And so now we've honed it. Again, there'll be common themes and topics in our study today because we're still in the same paragraph, but there'll be different aspects of it that we might take note of, same as the previous panel. So when we do it the next time we get together and we're doing a prayer areas and themes coming from study 35, which is our study today, there might be the same headers or similarity, but the content might be slightly different. Something different is being brought out that was brought out in our discussion. So I'll read through these. And we'll take more time with this tonight because this is actually our study instead of going down to that chart and say, well, can anybody think of petition or supplication or an example from the paragraph? So I'm trying to hone that a little bit. I'm also assuming that we're more comfortable moving ahead. Maybe I guess I'd categorize it going a little deeper into the context of what's being brought out, but grabbing for the significance and dependence upon the Holy Spirit who wants to bring us into a deeper fellowship with He Himself on how He sharing His life with us and how prayer becomes a main part of our relationship. We're never alone. We're always there, whether you realize it or not, and we've had different testimonies amongst us. The course of time might not have recognized them, that we recognize He's doing something inside of me a lot of times. It'll be He's bringing us to remember someone in prayer, intercession, bringing to our awareness an event or a situation that then, whether we realize it or not, we're doing the uttering prayer, our relationship with the Holy Spirit, and He's working in us. And a lot of that outward stuff that we see is really the expression of the inside of us in wrestling and engaging with the wonderful love of the Holy Spirit in our each one unique daily activities. So this will become, we'll become a little bit more used to this. Supremacy of Christ on themes and prayer areas. We can pray for a deeper understanding and appreciation of Christ's unique sonship and His superiority over all creatures. Just what we got through talking about in the previous panel opens up to I need to understand this more. Why? Because I'm involved, not just looking at Jesus over there, my high priest sitting at the right hand of the Father, in what he has said in his work and stuff, but what he's saying in me by his Holy Spirit in a co-participation in what it means to be a son and his superiority. And again, the aspect that Sonia asked in reference to reflection on the role of angels, that is something then that we need to be praying about. How might that come about? Just all kinds of stuff. So the dynamic interaction with the Holy Spirit in regard to what we're talking about. It's the scriptures coming alive, us taking hold of it, and the place it needs to go is before the Holy Spirit to unpack it. So this can include prayers for recognizing his authority in our lives, in the world, and now with the angel type of thing, in the entire created order, that which is not necessarily earthly, but above, because that's where we sit already. And later in the epistle, what's the wonderful thing he says about angels up in chapter 13? That we might not be aware of at different times.
Or entertaining angels unaware.
Yeah. Let's get to know them ahead of time. Eternal kingdom and righteousness. Prayers can focus on seeking righteousness and embracing the eternal nature of Christ's kingdom. That's about us embracing this eternal nature. Not of his kingdom, he's sitting over there on the throne. Boy, I get to maybe visit once in a while. We are in that. Indeed, we have his own nature. We see in chapter 3 of 1 John, his eternal nature is our nature. That's why we're other than what we were. We're totally different. We're not, as it said in the scriptures, of this world, chapter 11. We look for a city that's not of this world because we're not. Eternal nature of Christ, and it's the eternal nature of Christ's kingdom where we rule and reign, where he does. Now, we can ask for guidance in living righteously and reflecting God's kingdom in our daily actions. So most of these are pretty obvious. Have we actually prayed that kind of stuff? Have we taken his word that we study together and actually done some of this? That's where we're at in this particular study, in the second paragraph of Hebrews. In looking at these modules, we're now into a dynamic incorporation of prayer as a result of him speaking to us through his written word. What we're after is speak to me not just by the written word, of which we're experiencing he's speaking much more than that, about speak to me in me. And that takes us to areas we're not familiar with in the reality of being one with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Engagement with scripture. The document encourages personal engagement with the scriptures. Participants can pray for clarity, insight, a deeper relationship with God through his word, asking the Holy Spirit to illuminate their understanding. You can also pray for a deeper relationship and understanding and clarity pertaining to our relationship with him inside of us, not just his word externally, but the living word of which he indeed tells us that we are the living epistles, where the word's written in and through us. That's the living word. We don't have documents and pages inside of us. We are the written word. We're the living witness and testimony of incarnate God. Role of the Holy Spirit. There's a significant emphasis on the presence and anointing of the Holy Spirit. And indeed, this is, again, what we talked about. Participants can pray for a greater awareness of the Holy Spirit's work in their lives, seeking empowerment and guidance in their spiritual journeys. Community and fellowship. The importance of fellowship with other believers is highlighted. We can pray for unity, encouragement, and support within our communities, asking God to strengthen their bonds and collective faith. So we, individually, we as our study group, we then broaden out to our families, our relationships, our community, our governing people, Even some of the wonderful politicians that are anathema to us, the Lord wants to bring home. And asking God to strengthen our bonds, the collective drawing God's people of faith and his children. But then, you know, all the rest of the stuff that goes with it. How much time have we actually spent with that? We could throw up a prayer for the president. We could pray throw up a prayer for the previous president. We could pray up for that type of stuff. What he really wants, that's wonderful. But we know he's choreographing that stuff. So what's the prayer going on here when we start to get beyond ourselves? It's what the Holy Spirit wants to do with the human heart. Doesn't matter who it's in. So all that type of stuff, community and fellowship. Spiritual growth and maturity. Participants are encouraged to grow in faith. Prayers can focus on personal spiritual growth, asking for wisdom, strength, and perseverance in their faith journeys. Now, indeed, I would assume we all do that for ourselves. We need to start doing it again for beyond ourselves. So we're now getting more and more concerned about the immediate body of Christ that we're involved with. We're more and more concerned about then the body that extends beyond that, and then to our brothers and sisters throughout all of planet Earth. One side, in thankfulness for that all have gone before us, we don't know who's going to come after us, but that the penetration of the God-man in this created order would go out as the Holy Spirit actually wants it to, and we as the expression of his body, of his people, of his life, of his nature, would not be inhibited by confrontation with anything that comes at us in this created order. He's choreographing the events. He has us, and he wants to walk through and engage into all of that stuff. So everything from, Holy Spirit, please make a plain path before me in this engagement and perseverance therein, but this witness and testimony that you want to be in and through me, put me in a place of the expression of your holy boldness, not in timidity. And we see that exhortation, of course, in the epistles. This making sense still?
Yes.
Understanding of righteousness and lawlessness. The study discusses the significance of loving righteousness and hating lawlessness. Now, we know we can't do that but for the life of God. Without the life of God, we would indeed see ourselves as lawless. We know that for a fact. We might not admit it or look to it, but we know that's where we came from. And we fell for and participated in, however much we might gloss over it, a life of lawlessness. We were not ruled by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We were lawless. But now the significance of loving righteousness, which is inherent in our being, because he's our being. And the same with hating lawlessness. So a whole area, recognizing that, and then praying it for our brothers and sisters, for each other, for the body of Christ, also so that the world would see and recognize something else walking down the street here in Coon Rapids, whether we articulate anything or not. This is radiated because the whole created order is looking at it. This manifold wisdom being made known is being made known by his life. We happen to be the expression of that life. We can pray for discernment to recognize and reject lawlessness in our lives and society, seeking the embodiment of God's righteousness. We might input discernment to recognize and reject lawlessness in our lives. Well, recognizing it and rejecting lawlessness in our lives, obviously stated in that context, we need to recognize who and what we are, as he's unfolded in our previous panel and as we see in prayer, that we would come to the realization, as John points us to, you were that, you're no longer that, and why am I not? And so answers to those prayers, not just for us, but for our brothers and sisters. Indeed, for our small or large Bible study from day to day, and the realization of that, which elevates our joy, our happiness to participate, when we get revelation and understanding, and things not only make intellectual sense, but they're starting to make spiritual sense. I'm starting to experience the renewing of my mind. I'm having engagement in a mindset that has broadened out my perspective, my understanding, which is beyond what one might start to think, normally coming from a normal human mind. Our minds are being changed, not just our intellectual minds, but our spiritual minds are being renewed. The context of self-awareness and who and what we are. And it's then mediated from that in and through our human mind, as we then would be a witness and testimony. These themes provide a rich foundation for prayer, allowing each of us to reflect on our own personal spiritual journeys and the collective growth of the family of God. I just would input here, reflect our own personal spiritual journey. In chapter 4 of Ephesians, the unity of the faith, knowledge of the Son of God, measure, stature, fullness of Christ, under a mature man, and those four component parts, the growth of the body itself, one by one, but corporately at the same time. So what we experience and we have confidence, revelation, and a grasp of, and we know it in the knowing of John, and indeed that this is because of eternal life in me, that then is a gift to pray for somebody else to come to that place. Not to say, well, I got this and you don't have that, because they got something we don't got. But the body grows together in love, appreciating the fellowship of the body of Christ, which is a dynamic of coming to a knowing and awareness and a participation in the same person. But each individual, not necessarily exactly the same, but different, if that makes sense. So the collective growth of the family of God. Well, amen to that. Well, we've certainly done a lot of talking. But as we get used to this, I would hope you guys would even ask many more questions and slow us down. And as you look at these things, kind of dig into them as you reflect on them on the PDF, as you look at the website, and start digging into them. What's behind this? The same kind of questions we've been asking for years. Take these, start digging behind them. And it's in the form of a repetition now, because we talked about it, engaged in it. Now we put it on the page in black and white, which there's no life in a black and white page. The life is behind it. We experience the life. The Holy Spirit now can bring us to a remembrance, and also special things for one of us or two of us or all of us, and an aspect of this that might come to bear where we can then indeed experience a full revelation and a comprehension. Get into the mind of God Himself. Any questions about that, you guys?
Mark, did you say that this is up already, this part?
I'm sorry, no. It will be up. It'll be up tonight. This study is from last time. And
right.
Because, like, for the study of today's 35, mm-hmm. There's no transcript until I finish the...
Right.
Get it and then get it uploaded, and I can take the transcript and then I can glean all this stuff out of it. Then that'll be we'll have that then for next time. So that'll go up. I think that should go up tonight, and the video and the audio won't go up until tomorrow or the next day. But the PDF I'm going to try to get up as soon after our study as I can. Time now. Because so you'd have these two panels.
Yeah, it's fresh.
Yeah, and so you'd have this one and this one up there. And this might be me, and please let me know if not. I'm finding these to be a good help and an aid just for the mind and having it in print, but then having something to work with instead of trying to force ourselves, because many of us aren't used to that, thinking independently, looking at the paragraph and trying to come up with this stuff without this. But this is ourselves 2 weeks ago actually doing it. It's just now in an outline format. So this is what we talked about, what our mindset was. It's just put in words that are a little bit more like an outline of what we talked about. So here's our website, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Let me fix this so other people can see this inside our study. There we go. So here's the website, and we're doing Hebrews tonight. So we go to High Priesthood, which is down a little bit. So we go Holiest of All. Then we'll go to here and go to the study sessions, and we'll go to the bottom of the page. So we have 34. Today's isn't up there. So, and I believe I've got them by pages. Yeah. So here's the two pages right here. Here's the whole PDF. And these then are downloadable. So there's that one. And okay. we only had one other one. Not a PDF. So you'll pull them up and you can just, I think they're directly downloadable when you pull them up.
Yep. Okay, good.
All right.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. So over the course of time, you might get a little notebook full of those, which is good. But then you can write all over them, too, if you printed them out. So that'll be good. Well, okay. I will close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for our study tonight, for the joy of each other's presence, for the joy of being in your presence, sitting around your table. So we begin to learn how to and to take joy in what a wonderful life you've given us, sitting around the table of our Heavenly Father, headed by your beloved Son, indwelt by your precious Holy Spirit, a participation in the triune God yourself. And Lord, we just want to thank you so much for an eternity that we're beginning to look at, participate in, that is an amazing wonder. We ask you to quicken your word to our hearts as we would study each day, as we'd look to kneel before you, Holy Spirit, that you might accomplish bringing us into all truth and also bringing us, as Hebrews would suggest, the Sabbath rest. As John would suggest, knowing indeed we have eternal life and that it is you, our Lord God. We pray now for our week, for the events of the day, that you indeed would be glorified as we live, walk, and participate with our so great Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.
That's all, folks.